Okay, here's the situation, gentlemen. And I will quote, Rabbi, you got 15 minutes. There is a rabbi in the world that has done the impossible. He has a community that does not even have one Shomer Shabbos Jew in it as of yet. And in this community, he has done the unthinkable. He has been able to create a minyan on Thursday morning. Why Thursday morning, of all the mornings of the week?
Because they can drive to shul, they work on Shabbos.
Now, Shabbos is taken care of. I'm not talking about that. Thursday morning you have laning, and it happened to be the time that was convenient for these 10, 11, 12 gentlemen to come together. And they basically told the rabbi, no problem, but about 5 or 6 of them said, you got 15 minutes. You got 15 minutes. That's how much time we're going to give you. Because there's traffic coming into where the shul is. We have to find parking. And after all that is done, we have to get to work. You got 15 minutes. What do we do? No davening that I know of for Shacharis on a non-Thursday takes 15 minutes. How do we help this rabbi? So obviously, in order to maintain this minyan, we're going to have to help him out by saying skip. But in order to know what to skip, let's think about the basics. People there will not daven. So anything they're going to do in shul is the sum total of davening. Mm-hmm. Understood. So what do we have to do in the morning? We have to say Birkos HaShachar. So the rabbi will start the davening by saying Birkos HaShachar. If you answer Amen, are you Yotze?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes, sure. What's that called? Shomea Keona. Absolutely. So he'll say all the Birkos HaShachar. Birkos HaTorah is probably from the Torah, but the other brachos are Midei Rabbanan. And he'll take care of the brachos right on the beginning. Let's say that's a minute to a minute and a half of the daily schedule. Perhaps two. We're down to how much? We're down to 13. Now what do you do? What do you do? So you know, Karbanos is very important. There's a Rabbeinu Yonah on Masechet Brachot. Rabbeinu Yonah wrote a Perush on the Reef. When you don't have the Ran, you have Rabbeinu Yonah on certain Masechtas. And Masechet Brachot has Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says that saying Karbanos in the morning is the Oraisa as on the same level as, you ready for this? You're sitting down? Kriyat Shema. Beautiful. I wonder how you knew that. Very good.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, he says the Gemara says that we have to bring korbanos. The Torah says you have to bring korbanos every day. You don't have korbanos, so what do you do instead? So the Gemara says, when the shalma farim sfatenu, we'll say it through our lips. So it's the oraisa, you got to do it. But let's not go that far. Let's say we'll do like in Israel, we'll skip korbanos. I don't know. Again, is it a good idea forever? We'll get to that later. But we'll skip korbanos. We get to Pesukei Dezimra. Pesukei Dezimra is a din derabanan and the oraisa, minhag, what is it? Baruch Sha'amar is a din de oraisa or a din de rabbanan or a minhag? That's my question. There's a famous Gemara that says that a certain gentleman said halal every day. And the Gemara then says, how do you say halal every day? You're making a mockery out of halal. Well, every day deserves a halal. And the Gemara says, nah, I didn't mean halal. I meant Pesukei Dezimra. Which we can infer that Pesukei Dezimra is not a din the oraisa, nor din de rabbanon, because if that was the case, he wouldn't pride himself and say, oh, I do a din de rabbanon every day. I also do a din de rabbanon every day. The rabbi said to do it, you got to do it. It's a minhag, a strong minhag, an ancient minhag. And the question is, should he forego it or not? Now remember, time is money over here. So let's say he does the minimal of the minimal. What's the minimal of the minimal of the Pesukei Dezimra? If you come into shul late, Baruch Sha'amar Ashrei Yishtabach. He got a little more time and in two halalukas, as Rashi says on the Gemara. But okay, let's say we got to that. Now we got a problem. We have Kriyat Shema in the morning. The Oraisa the Rabbanon. The Oraisa, it's from the Torah. The Brachos before and after is a the Rabbanon. However, there's a Rambam that says that if you have a suffix, if you said Kriyat Shema, you have to repeat Kriyat Shema with its brachot. It's like a package deal. If you have a suffix, if you just said the brachos, that's a suffix derabanan lekula. But if you have a suffix, if you said Kriyat Shema, then the suffix the oraita lechumra would dictate to say the two brachos before and the two brachos after. More than that, everything we said until now, Birkos HaShachar, Pesukei Dezimra, you don't need a minyan for. The minyan becomes a minyan by that baruch hu before Birkos Kriyat Shema. How do I know that? Because let's say you have a minyan at Baruch Hu before Birkas Kriyat Shema, and then a gentleman drops dead. It's never happened, but let's say he dropped dead. Okay, I'm sorry. I wanted to make sure you were awake. He didn't drop dead. He had to leave. He had to leave. You have 9 people left. Are you allowed to continue as if you have a minyan?
Yes,
the whole segment of davening that you started with a minyan, you can end with a minyan. Now, minyan is only when there's something that you can do that you can't do without a minyan. So Baruch Hu you can't say, or Kaddish you can't say without a minyan. So that Kaddish, that Baruch Hu, creates the entity of the minyan. And now he has a minyan. So he's going to say Birkos Kriyat Shema and Shema. We're already down to how many minutes? That not many. Maybe 10. Let's say Leining, if he takes out the Torah, we'll skip Tachanun, we do that a lot, so we'll skip it over here. He takes out the Torah, he wants to lane, there's 10 people, you're Mechuyev to lane on a Thursday. He takes out the Torah, he puts it on the table, he lanes quickly, let's say, and laning will take at least 5 minutes. The ordeal of taking it out, putting on the table, calling up the people probably say the bracha slowly because they're not used to it. You got basically how many minutes left to say Shmoneh Esrei, the Amida?
Five.
What about a Hefer?
Okay.
What
do we do? So let's deal with that today, because that's mainly the issue. Everything else is pretty much easy. But that's the main issue here, the Amida. The Yaseyit Belachash, and forget about Chazarat Hashatz. The Yaseyah Chazarat Hashatz without a Tefillah Belachash. Or do you do what Harold just said, a Hecha Kedusha? You start sort of out loud. You get to Akel HaKadosh, and you continue quietly. Now, I'm just going to buttress the question and say, I'm not so sure in those 12 people there are people that know how to say the brachos of the 19 blessings of the Amidah. And therefore, even if you do a Hecha Kedusha, I'm not so sure they're going to finish. So what do you do? So we have to take a step back, and we have to see, what do we do in a regular shul, in a regular minyan, every day? Look in the top of the source sheet. Let's take a step back. We're in a regular shul. We came to shul this morning. We had a cup of coffee, perhaps, before davening. Or if you're machmir, you drink nothing. And you came to davening. The Shulchan Aruch states, and I quote, Kuf Kav Dalet Seif Gimel, Kahal Shehit Palalu. Everyone already finished davening their silent Amida. The Kulam Biki'im Batfilah. And everyone knows how to daven. There isn't one gentleman in that room that doesn't know how to read Hebrew. And they read the davening in Hebrew. Sounds familiar? The minyan I davened in yesterday was like that. The minyan this morning was like that. There was no one there that didn't know Hebrew. Afal pikein, says the Shulchan Aruch. Yered shliach tzibur, v'chozer lehitpalel, kedel kayem takanat chachamim. The takana of the chachamim, if you recall, was that they said you should have a chazarat hashatz, the public amida, as I recalled it, in order, lahotziyat misha eino baki, in order to fulfill the obligation again, by which mechanism? Shomeya Keone, for those that can't do it alone. There's a Yerushalmi that says that there's 3 things you shouldn't rely on Shomeya Keone, and one of them is davening. You should daven for yourself. If you need a shidduch for your daughter, or if you can't pay your mortgage, you should plead to God. Don't ask someone to do it on your behalf. But if you have no choice, you have no choice. So there was a day in the Gemara of Rabban Gamliel that said, that's why the metakin chazarat hashatz, for those that didn't know, and for those that knew. We paskin like the majority, the chachamim, Chazarat Hashatz was only because of the 1 or 2 people in shul that can't daven alone. So they were yotze with Shomea Keone. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, even though that's the reason, once a takana is made, it's there. And even if the reason for the takana is no longer relevant, we still do what the Chachamim said.
Why would we make a rule like that?
What rule?
Where we say that even if it's no longer relevant, we'll do it anyway. It sounds like that's a shir from the tzibur.
Okay, there's many reasons why. That's a whole shir to itself. The general rule is, once the Chachamim made an enactment, it becomes part of your Torah observance, of the Jewish lifestyle, regardless of the reason that motivated them to make the takana. There were reasons, but that remains a takana. Once it becomes part of the Jewish lifestyle, it remains. Now, I'm oversimplifying it because there's exceptions to the rule, and there are exceptions to this rule I just said. But in general, that is the rule. Once it's there, even if the reason is irrelevant, it's there. So there was a reason why they made Chazarat Hashatz, to make sure to fulfill the obligation for those that don't know Hebrew. We're in a shul where everybody knows Hebrew, says the Shulchan Aruch. This is one of the many, many examples where we fulfill the takana, even though the reason is not relevant. Yes.
Yom Tov Sheni,
maybe not. because the Gemara itself already said that Yom Tov Sheni, they originally did because it was a true Suffik de Oraisa. Let's remember, when you sanctify the months by virtue of the two witnesses that come to the Beis HaMikdash, the word didn't get out. So you have two choices. Either the month before was 29 days or 30 days. So Pesach, for sakes of argument, would be 29 plus 15 days or 30 plus 15 days. That's why you did 2 days Yantiv. Once that was eradicated, the Gemara does say, well, there was no formal takana to do 2 days. It was just what you got to do. Suffik d'oraisa l'chumra. So now that we have a calendar, what should we do? And the famous Gemara in Beitza Daf Dalet Amud Bet says, Shalchu mitam, Israel sent word to Bavel, and they actually listened. Hey, Zaharu b'minhag avotechem b'yitchem. Continue to do it. So Yom Tov Sheni may not be one of those examples. It's not like the reason was Suffik d'oraisa. Now there's no more reason. We continue to fulfill it. It was a little more of the opposite. Originally there wasn't a takana. Later there was. Anyway, to make a long story short, this is what the Shulchan Aruch says, and therefore the Aruch HaShulchan spells it out for us. How do we daven mincha? Like tefillat shachris. Hatzibur v'ashatz mipadalim belachash. First everyone daven silently. V'acharkach, and after they all finish silently, chozer ashatz hatzvila b'kol ram. V'atzibur anim amin v'kedusha, v'kach yiritar katakana. So, I guess all bets are off if we just read this, right? As I always said, when you deal with a shayla like I just presented, you got 5 minutes. What do you do? If you read the Shulchan Aruch straight, and you say, well, that's it. I always say, remember, the Shulchan Aruch was written for a situation where everyone's teeth are white, everyone's kippah is firmly on their head, there's no time limits, there's no limitations, everything is perfect. And therefore, if we're going to deal with this question, we got to go a bit deeper. So in order to deal with this question, I always say, let's go back. Because when the Shulchan Aruch said something like, even though the reason isn't relevant, we do it, I'm always thinking, well, maybe someone did say that if the reason isn't relevant, you shouldn't do it. Now, in order to establish if he did contemplate it or didn't contemplate it, Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, where do you go back to? Let's remember, Rav Yosef Karo wrote a few books. What was one of the books he wrote? The Beit Yosef. What's the difference between the Beit Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch?
Beit Yosef is the full, whole discussion.
Right. Beautiful. Bruce is right. The Beit Yosef starts with the Gemara, brings all the Rishonim up to the time of Rav Yosef Karo, and then he gives his Pesach Halacha. What's the Shulchan Aruch? The bottom line without all that. So I go back to the Beis Yosef, and let's see what the Beis Yosef says in Reish Lamed Dalet. Umitpalim Shmone Esrei, Veshliach Tzibur Machzir Atfila Kedere Shosin B'Shachris. Right? He's talking about Mincha. Now listen carefully. Aval Asfaradim... The Sfardim don't have a Chazaret Hashatz by Mincha. Whoa. Now, when you read this, you may say, what's the difference? Shachris, Mincha, Amida, what's the difference? This is for Keneged Korban Tamid Shel Boker. This is Keneged Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. What's the difference? Well, there's one little tiny difference between Shachris and Mincha. Anybody know? Right, there's 19 blessings. There's a Kedusha and a Chazaret Hashatz. What's the difference? Harold, tell him the difference. What did you do this morning at Shachris?
Berkas Kohanim.
So, there's a little difference, tiny little kind of difference. Maybe at Shachris you can't forego the Chazaret Hashatz. You're going to miss the Berkas Kohanim. That might probably is a mitzvah d'oraisa according to the majority of poskim. Mincha, there's no Berkas Kohanim. This is Takanat Chachamim saying, we never do Berkas Kohanim and Mincha. Why not? Because maybe they ate and they drank. And you're not allowed to be shtuyayin when you do it. Therefore, on a Tanis Tzibur, we also don't do it at Mincha. We only do it at Mincha if it's at the time of Ne'ilah, and we pretend it's like a Ne'ilah thing. But you don't do it at a Mincha Gedola. You only do it at a Mincha Ketana. The Chazon Ish had a different shita on this, but the majority of poskim is the way I just said it. Yes?
Shaila, if already. The Birkat Kohanim is Deoraita, why is it Ashkenazim and Chul don't do Birkat Kohanim?
So I think it's very important to establish once and for all that it's not that the Ramah said that the Ashkenazim and Chutz La'aretz should not do Birkas Kohanim, but in Israel they should. The Ramah says, our minhag is not to do Birkas Kohanim except from Musaf on the Shlosha Regalim. He did not say Chutz La'aretz Aretz. It happens to be that in Israel we all do Birkas Kohanim based on not just the Shulchan Aruch that disagrees, but I would say simple pshat in the psukim. It says, It doesn't say to do that on Yontif. It says to do it. When?
Every day. As far as I know, it's because of Simcha.
Once a day, every day. Once I will get to the reasons. Once a day, every day. Anytime the Torah tells you to do something, doesn't give you a time limit, it's once a day, every day. Tefillin. It doesn't say do it on Shabbos, do it on Yontif.
So why don't
you
do it?
So why don't they do it in Chutz Laaretz? So bevakasha.
Why?
What did you say?
Simcha.
Simcha. No? One reason given is that a Kohen has to be besimcha in order to give a bracha. And bracha shorel mitoch simcha. So there's no simcha in Chutz Laaretz. Only in Israel we're happy. That's an interesting reason. I don't recall in the psukim it says you need simcha. And after all, the Sfardim and Chutz Laaretz do. What? They're besimcha and we're not? They're living next door to each other. Let's say you take a community, there's a Sephardi minion in the Ashkenazi shul, the Ashkenazi shul has a Sephardi minion. So upstairs, they're not duchening. Downstairs, they're duchening. What are you talking about? Everyone upstairs is downstairs is happy, and upstairs, they're all sad? But that's reason number one given, an interesting reason. Reason number two given for not duchening in Chutz Laaretz is that the minhag used to be that they went to mikveh in order to duchen. And what are you going to do? Ask a guy to go to mikveh every day, so therefore, they limited it to Yontif, where you're supposed to go to mikveh on Erev Yontif. Chayav Adam. A person has to go to mikvah on Erev Yontif. Well, that's a very interesting reason, because first of all, I know many good Jews that don't go to mikvah on Erev Yontif. Magam, where does it say anywhere in Hilchos Nisiyat Kapayim that you have to go to mikvah? But all these reasons have their... You can find a source for them. You can find certain sources. You can read it into a Gemara and Sota. You can read it into certain things. But in general, let's just say like this. Not duchening is the question. Duchening makes perfect sense. Not duchening is a big question. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa that we willingly do not do in Chutz Laaretz, and it's a question. It's a big question with a capital B. The question is not on why they do, but rather why they don't.
I have a possible teretz. Could it be that in the Ashkenazi lands where it was colder, people in the winter didn't want to go outside to the mikveh, whereas in the Sephardi areas where it was warmer.
I don't know of any halacha in Hirchos Birkas Kohanim that requires the Kohen to go to mikveh in order to duchen.
Don't know of such a halacha.
Again, I just gave you two of the reasons. There's a few more reasons given. In general, I have not found a good reason. Every one of those reasons just doesn't make sense for one reason. And I'll tell you the main thing why it doesn't make sense. You don't mevatel a mitzvah d'oraisa because you're not happy, because you'd like them to go to the mikveh. Doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense.
But once they did it, we're not allowed to reverse the tefillin, so to speak.
Throughout the generations, there were attempts after attempts after attempts by Rabbanim that learned the sugyas and says, what we're doing doesn't make sense. And each time they tried to institute it, something happened. So there's various stories about this. The Gera tried to do it in his shul, and the day that he came to shul, the shul burnt down. The Aruch HaShulchan records this story. Rav Natan Adler, the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, tried to do it. And he got arrested. Not because he wanted to duchen, but for some other reason, he got arrested and it never happened. And throughout the generations, there had been Rabbanim. One of them are one of our own graduates that said, what the Ashkenazim do makes no sense, and I'm going to make an institution that we're going to duchen every day. And something happened. Every time something happens, like Min HaShamayim, they don't want you to duchen in Chutz Laaretz. We don't know the reason, doesn't make sense halachically, but it just doesn't get off the floor.
Based on your first rule that we don't change what was instituted before, we really shouldn't be allowed to change this.
That's not a takanas chachamim, not to duchen. It's the minhag in Ashkenaz. There's no takana in the Gemara on the book saying not to duchen. What do you mean? You're going to make a takana not to duchen? There is none. We have takanas where we mevatel a mitzvah do raisa, like not blowing shofar when it comes out on Shabbos, not shaking luav when it comes out on Shabbos. There's no Gemara anywhere that says don't duchen except for on Yontif. Mima nafshach. If you're not allowed to duchen because you're not besimcha, you're not allowed to go to mikvah, you have to go to mikvah, who says they're going to be besimcha on Yontif? Maybe they'll be Seir on Yontif. Maybe they won't go to mikvah on Erev Yontif. And if this is not the reason, why not do it every day? But this is the minhag of Ashkenaz, and I don't suggest anyone change it because you'll either get arrested, your shul will burn down, or any of the above. Yes,
it's a minhag.
One second.
I'll tell you a story. I'm going to the yeshiva Kotel to Poland. In the barracks in Auschwitz?
Yes.
They were
yeah.
So there's a lot of Shiva from other. Ask, yes, what? So I said to him, for me, the duch for me, it's a simcha. I'm coming here because I'm still alive and still.
Beautiful.
It's a simcha for me. The court for me. I thought it's a joke. He liked
beautiful.
It very much.
Beautiful.
He was also. He called me. He says, "Oh, tomorrow you come. I should go there." And they were.
It's beautiful. You should know that you're bringing up a very interesting halachic question, and that is that when a minion of Bnei Eretz Yisrael go to Chutz La'aretz, do they take on the minhagim of Chutz La'aretz, or do they continue their Eretz Yisrael minhagim? Okay, this is relevant for duchening. This is relevant for if you started to save a tain talu matar levracha on Zayin Mar Cheshvan, and in Chutz La'aretz are not there yet. They wait till December, whatever. That's one of the reasons. So if you have a minion of Yeshivat HaKotel coming from Israel to Chutz La'aretz, and there is no minhag in the particular place you're in, it could very well be you continue your minhagei Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so they probably did right. I should just say like this, you should encourage tuchening as much as possible, but the minhag in Ashkenazi communities are so strong that I don't suggest to lose your job over this one. Don't suggest it. Okay, but you should duchen as much as possible. Therefore, when asked, I ask when people say, there was this ancient minhag not to duchen on Shabbos if it was a yantiv. I always encourage them to duchen on Shabbos, which is a yantiv. Again, encourage, but you shouldn't lose your job. I can go on and on, but we're getting totally off topic. Gentlemen, the Beis Yosef contemplates that the Sfardim don't have a Chazarat HaShatz by Mincha, but Minhag Ashkenazim Hu Anachon. Now that's an historic document. The posek for the Sephardic community, the Shulchan Aruch, says the Ashkenazim are correct. What's the Minhag Ashkenaz? Did have a Chazarat HaShatz at Shachris and Mincha. And then he continues. V'echeni hinhigu chachamim shebador shelefaneinu b'tzvat tibanevet ikonen. And I'm living in Tzvat in the Takana here, even though the Sephardim. There should be a proper Chazarat HaShatz, both at Shachris and at Mincha. V'gazru nidui la'over al takanatam. And whoever didn't do a Chazaret HaShatz at Mincha, in accordance with the Sephardic Minag, what happened to them? What's Nidui?
Ban.
Chayrim. They put a Chayrim. They put a Chayrim on them. So this is a pretty heavy-duty thing. But this is all, as I said, when everything is perfect. However, the Beis Yosef explains in the name of the Shibulei Aleket, next source, in the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim, in the name of Rabbeinu, let's say there's a minyan at Mincha, and it's ben hashmashot already, it's getting close to dark, they don't have a lot of time, just like our minyan, 5 minutes, what do? You would have thought that if you only have a little time, have the Shliach Tzibur get up and daven the whole Chazarat HaShatz, which would be the only davening out loud. Everyone should mumble with him. And they'll daven the Lachash, and he'll daven out loud. So you killed two birds with one stone. Says the Beis Yosef, no, even if it's Ben HaShmashos, you will have to continue this format. Lachash, Chazarat HaShatz. Why? Ikarat fila belachash. That's what we learned out from Chana. She davened quietly. This is the way we got to do it. So the Shulchan Aruch says that indeed, if you come into shul late, there's certain rules and regulations, but you should try as much as possible to do everything possible to daven your tefillah belachash. Don't say word for word with the Chazan. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Kuftet Seif Aleph. Hanichlasa b'teknesu matzat zibur mitpadalin. They're already in the middle of their Shmona Esrei. Im yachol v'alachil ligmor kodem shiagiyash teyach zibur lekidusha l'kadish yitpalel. V'hu amen amen dehel da'akel ha-kadosh v'shomei ha-tfilo. V'im nichlasa char kidusha im yachol v'alachil ligmor, etc., etc. The Shulchan Aruch does acrobats in the air in order to say, what do you do when you come in late? So you can on the one hand say amen to the certain parts of the Chazarat HaShatz which are important. Kedusha, Hakel HaKadosh, Shomei Tefillah, and on the other hand, still daven a Tefillah Belachash. And he goes through acrobats in the air of how to do it. But, quite frankly, as you could see, Rav Yosef Karo is very consistent that you have to keep the format of quiet Shmona Esrei, Chazarat HaShatz. Okay. So, we don't want to stop that. Now we got a problem. We got our 5 minutes here. We have another problem. If we only do a tefillah belachash without a chazarat hashatz, we're smacking the Shulchan Aruch in the face. Not so good. we got a problem here. So two problems here. We don't have a lot of time, and we also don't have the leisure of lechatchila, forgetting about the Chazarat Hashatz. We're supposed to keep this format, silent Shmoneh Esrei, public Shmoneh Esrei. Moreover, if we just say, okay, Shulchan Aruch aside, everyone daven belacha, she's very strict on that point, I'm not so sure they're going to daven because they don't know Hebrew. So what do we do? Yes?
If the Baal Tefillah is davening the repetition, can't he start it from the front? And those who choose to leave will leave, and those who choose to stay to stay.
We just said that you can't do that. Right. We just said it. The Beit Yosef said, in the name of the Shibulei Aleket, the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim, in the name of Rabbeinu, that even when your time is limited, you're supposed to keep the format.
No, he is. The man in the front.
No, but he says, no, the man in the front is not Yotze davening because he's davening out loud. Had he been davening quietly, fine. Then he has to do the Chazarat Hashatz. But he cannot daven out loud while everyone else is davening quietly.
No, he waits for them to finish. He starts the repetition.
And what? What do you gain? You only have 5 minutes.
Well, the bonus who get what? Everyone's going to walk out in 5 minutes?
Yes, I'm saying, yes. You got your 5 minutes. Why are we sitting around this table? If you got 10 minutes, we wouldn't be talking.
Yeah, we have our own meeting where occasionally people start to...
Okay, Bruce again last week did the same thing. He's doing again this week, and I can't believe one week after another. Bruce cannot contemplate there's a place in the world where you won't have a minion. Like, what are you talking about? They're going to walk out? Bruce, v'didi havei uvda, as the Gemara says, it happened to me, that people said, you got this amount of time, at 8 o'clock I'm walking out. And by 8 o'clock there's no minion, or there is a minion, you're middle of the laning, they are walking out. They got a train to catch. They have to get to work. And there isn't a second, and there isn't a third, and there isn't a first minion. This is it. It's a Thursday morning, all week, void of minions. You got this. That's it. How do we help the guy? We got to help the guy. We got to help him.
Wait. You said that.
What's the Harold there?
You said they don't understand the language. Can you daven Shmoneh Esrei in English? I know we have Shema, you can. But can you do Shmoneh Esrei in English if they don't understand?
The answer is absolutely. If you look at the next source on the page and we just go through it, the first thing I suggested to this particular rabbi is, well, maybe it's important that they daven silently because the Shulchan Aruch went ballistic saying that maybe the Chazan should daven out loud and everyone else quietly. He says the Chazan should also daven quietly. So I'm not so sure that would even work here because, quite frankly, even if the Chazan davens out loud, they don't follow him. They don't know what he's saying. From his perspective, he's going chang chang chung in Chinese. So can you daven in English? The answer is
yes.
100% yes. The Gemara in Sota says certain things have to be said in Hebrew.
Right.
For example, Duchenik. We mentioned it. Parshat Sota. But there's certain things that don't have to be mentioned in Hebrew. Gemara says, Pesachet Sota, Daf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph, Mishnah, Eilu Ne'emarin B'chol Lashon, this is what you say in any language, and one of the two examples are, Kriyat Shema Tefillah, Shulchan Aruch Paskin Sit and Siman Samich Bet, Yecholik Prata B'chol Lashon, with regard to Kriyat Shema. However, I don't know if this is a good idea, because of the next few words. Let's read the next few words. V'yizaher midivrei shibush shebe'oto lashon, v'yidadek bo kemo b'lashon ha'kodesh. When you say it in Hebrew, whether you understand it or not, you're saying what you're supposed to say. When you translate to English, what happens?
Different translation.
See, there's translation and there's interpretation. Are they always different things? Whoever does unkelus, shtayim mikra ve'echa targum on the Parsha knows that the majority of the time he absolutely translates into Aramaic. But here and there, he puts in a rabbinic aphorism because that's the halacha. Like, kill the guy, he puts in, by basting. That's not a translation, that's a interpretation. So let's say there's a certain sitter, and the sitter has a translation into the language of the land, be Spanish or English. How do you know it's a correct translation? And therefore the Mishnah Berurah goes ballistic here, and you can read it through, where he says that many have suggested not to daven in a different language. Because if they daven in Hebrew, they're for sure Yotze. But if they daven in every other language, there's a few problems. And one of them is, maybe the translation is off. So maybe you didn't daven. More than that, he goes into many different reasons why it wouldn't be a good idea. And indeed, even though it's mutar, to daven both Kriyat Shema in English, Siman Samech Bet, Siman Kuf Aleph, Tzif Dalet, on the bottom, Yecholit Palel B'chol Hashan Shiyirtze, absolutely mutar. If you do it B'tzibor, for sure, might not be a good idea because there's many problems that come with it. And the biggest problem is maybe you're not doing and saying what the Chachamim asked you to say. Because every translation could become an interpretation. And I'll add a different reason. I don't want a community to stay at a 15-minute davening. I'd like them to get to 30 minutes eventually, 35 minutes. They'll have a proper davening. I don't want people to stay at their level today. I want them to aspire to higher spiritual levels. If we institute davening in English, in my humble opinion, that's where it's going to stay. And if that's where it's going to stay, then we have a big problem because perhaps that community will never advance to the level we want them to, and that is that their shul, Be'ezrat Hashem, will be like all the shuls Bruce knows, with 5 minions in the morning, because we left them at a certain level. Therefore, even if you have a situation like I just described where you have to abridge davening, I don't suggest, and I didn't suggest to this rabbi, to print a special sitter that just has what they're going to say. Why? Because once you print a special sitter, that's where they're going to remain. They're not going to print another one in a few years. The aspiration should be this sitter should be said every day. We're not there yet. We're going up the ladder. We're on the first rung. We're going to get to the second rung. And here's where we are. And I believe davening in English would leave them down there because it's so much easier. And yet there's so many problems with it. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah has a long Mishnah Berurah here and you can read through it. Well, let's take the English out and let's think, how do we help this rabbi? He has 5 minutes for a Shmon Esrei. Nope. First suggestion. Feet together and say Amen. Shulchan Aruch. Even though he said this is not a good idea, whatever, he says as follows. Kuf Kav Dalet Tzif Alef. L'achar shesimu atzibur tfilatan, yechzor shesimu atzfilat. She'im yesh mi she'eino yodea lit palel. What's the reason for Chazarat Hashatz?
If people cannot daven,
they don't know how to read, or they don't know how to read Hebrew, or they don't know how to read English, whatever it is. Yechaveim l'mashehu omer b'yotzebo. He should have kavana to everything that the shliach tzibur says, and he's yotze. So how does he do it? The Shulchan Aruch says, I'll take you by the hand and tell you how. If no one knows how to daven, so this is what you do. You have to listen to every word. You don't talk, nor do you do any hefsex. And what do you do? So the first suggestion I suggested to this rabbi is, do what the Shulchan Aruch says not to do in most cases, but he basically brings it in. And that is, forget about the format of tefillah b'lachash, they can't read Hebrew, English is not a good idea, and Shmon Esrei, have one tefillah chazarat hashatz, by you putting your feet together, Baruch Ata Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, Somech Ge'ul v'tefillah Hashem Tzfatai Tiftach, Ufi Yagid Tehilatecha, and you tell everyone beforehand, listen guys, when I pause, say Amen. You know what Amen means? You agree to everything I said. Listen, have kavanah that you're talking to God, I'm your spokesman. You're all Yotze, put your feet together and daven with me. And in 5 minutes, he could do that. So, Shulchan Aruch seems okay. What's the problem with that? Why did we start the whole shiur with the background that we did?
It might take more than five minutes.
No, it won't take more than five minutes. No? He'll daven with a stopwatch. Gentlemen, we just said at the beginning of the shiur that at the Shulchan Aruch said, there's supposed to be a format of silent and public. And he even said that you're only Yotze Belachash. Even though this is a suggestion, maybe it's not the best suggestion in the world, simply because the Shulchan Aruch went ballistic on the fact that there are certain communities that did a Heche Kedusha, whatever. He said that wasn't the Takanas Chachamim. And therefore, even though that suggestion is here, and I can tell you that I've used it a few times when necessary, it is a little problematic based on the whole top of this source sheet. So, I guess we have to go to the second possibility. The first possibility is there'll be one chaz and he'll say every word out loud. You'll just say Amen. We'll have to go to a second possibility. And what's that? Well, maybe we'll do some sort of a combination. Again, the Beis Yosef didn't like it. But we'll do a combination of Lachash and out loud. What did Harold call that at the beginning of Shir? Ahecha Kedusha. So to sum up for today, and we'll continue next week, gentlemen, this rabbi has 15 minutes. That's it. So we already said, he should say the Birkos HaShachar, abridged Psukei Dezimra, Birkos Kriyat Shema, and Kriyat Shema. What do we do with the Shmoneh Esrei? That's our problem. And it's a Thursday, so quite frankly, gentlemen, we have laning on the agenda as well. What should we do in order to take care of this person? We said that in general the format has to be silent and public. Not just silent or not just public. But we have no choice here. So we suggested maybe davening in English. We said might not be good for the translation. We said maybe the chazan should say every word out loud, people will say amen. But we saw the beginning. That format is a little shaky. But it's on the books. Perhaps that's the answer for this shul. I have to say that even though it's on the books, and maybe that's the answer for this shul, I find it very unrealistic. You want to know why? Have you seen the Chazarat HaShatz in your shuls this morning? Need I go further or should I not? How many people can stand for 5 minutes, keep their mouths shut, have kavanah to what the chazan's saying? If they don't understand the word, whatever he's saying, I agree with. You know, I have my trust in the rabbis. You know, on a dollar bill, in God we trust. I have a trust in the rabbi. He's not saying everyone drop dead. Amen! He's saying everyone should live, and I'm saying amen. How many people can stand for 5 minutes, 4 minutes, and say nothing? Haraya, proof positive, gentlemen. How many people can stand in Chazarat HaShatz, or sit in Chazarat HaShatz, and just listen to the Chazan like they're supposed to, and say amen, not look at their phone, not look at a Chumash, not look at a Gemara, not look at the Parsha Sheet, not read the newspaper, not do anything. Just listen. How many people at this table for the shir today were able to sit here without looking at their phone once? Very difficult. This is the world we're living in. So to suggest to a community, hey, I got a good idea for you. You say the whole Chazarat HaShatz out loud. Pretend it's your Tefillah Balachas. You're just saying the Tefillah Balachas out loud. Pretend you're whispering. You're just saying it out loud. And everyone's going to stand there with their feet together and say amen. If they can't concentrate for 4 minutes in general, without looking at their phone, you're expecting them to say amen for 4 full minutes? I suggest that this would be almost impossible. Therefore, next week we have to contemplate the combination, where they're active and passive. They can be passive for the beginning, that's just a minute, from Baruch Atah Hashem, 2 minutes, till Akel HaKadosh, and maybe they have to be active later. So we'll try to contemplate that, God willing, next week.